Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. It is a leadership kind of day here on Radio Boston, so we're going to spend the rest of the hour today with another key Boston area leader, Helen Dreinen. She's retiring in June as the 8th president of Simmons University, Simmons College, when she started. She's led that institution through major disruptions in the economy and higher education. Dreinen also served as a senior executive for Caritas Christi Healthcare and for Bank Boston earlier in her career. Throughout all of that, she has made women's leadership and education a key goal. So as she prepares for her retirement, she joins us again in Studio 3, President Helen Dreinen. Welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you, Tiziana. It's great to be here.
You.
Thank you.
So we've known each other for a long time. We've worked in some of the same professional circles, worked in the Archdiocese. You came to Simmons in 2008. It was a college then, and it was in a very tough position, and it was the beginning of the 2008 economic massive recession. Now it's a university. It's had some major fundraising campaigns, $100 million. How would you describe your tenure as president in the last 12 years? 11 and a half.
Well, I think it's fair to say that it was a turnaround situation, and it was also a massive series of problem solving that had to be done. You know, colleges and universities are complicated places, and certain things are foundational. So finances are foundational. And when you arrive at a place and they don't have any cash on hand, they can't meet payroll, and they've got big obligations, it's a tough situation.
That's making my heart race listening to that.
It's not a good feeling.
What did it feel like to take over under those circumstances?
Well, it felt like the biggest thing was, how could this possibly be? And when you look at the financial picture of the university, we'd been losing money steadily for years. But one of the arcane things about higher education is the way that finances are reported. And sometimes they are very straightforward, and sometimes they're very, very complex and difficult to understand. And ours were in the latter case. So it was really after I got there that I learned how complicated and how serious the financial situation was. But, you know, in some ways, the Great Recession was our friend.
How?
Well, in the sense that everybody was worried about the finances. Even solid, rock-solid organizations were worried about their finances. So the fact that we had really big reasons to worry were kind of out of the public mainstream. There weren't people running over every day asking us, what were we doing now? And that helped us, because some of the work we had to do was really painful.
So what did you do? Because now we're at 2020. Mm. Simmons is Simmons University. It has survived the great disruption of small liberal arts higher education. So how did you get from point A to point B?
Well, you know, I'm really an accidental president. Very few presidents have my background in banking and healthcare. Most of them...
You mean university presidents?
Yes, yeah. Most of them have come up through the ranks, and they have terminal degrees, typically PhDs. And I don't have any of that. And I was an active member of the board before I became president, and we had a very sudden leadership change, so thrust into the role.
Your predecessor had been there fewer than 2 years.
Right, exactly right. And so really, I was so grateful that I had this accidental background, because the fact that I had lived through serious financial situations at both Bank Boston and Caritas Christi, and other kinds of serious situations at both, gave me a lot of tools to deal with this. Most people who are in higher education really would not have been as well suited to do this, even though, of course, everybody wished that I had a PhD and I were an academic.
traditionally, academic institutions, their members are very resistant to non-traditional leadership. Did you greet or meet a good deal of resistance?
Oh, my goodness, yes. People jumping on tables saying, no, 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 no. I'm not kidding. It was that
actual
bad.
Table jumping.
Yes. However, I think after a couple of months when they saw what we were looking at, actually several people came up to me and said, I'm really glad you're dealing with this. So, you know, we got over it. Now, that perception of not being a true academic has pertained my entire tenure there. But after a while, you know, it just doesn't become an issue anymore.
So, Helen, it seems the conventional wisdom is that you were able to do the turnaround at Simmons largely through embracing online education. Would you say that that's an accurate assessment of sort of the financial success the university's seen?
Well, I would say that's true, but it's easier said than done. When we started in online education, it was a strategic decision to advance our very strong but local graduate professional education programs. And there was not a lot doing that right at that time.
We tried
at the graduate level. We tried our own local opportunity, and it just – we couldn't do it. We absolutely couldn't do it. And we luckily made partnership with an organization called 2U that essentially provided the upfront capital to provide incredible marketing and incredible technology. And we went from our first year in 2014 of generating about $4 million in revenue to 2018 generating about $79 million in revenue.
So that's huge change, but that's got to be leveling off. I mean, there are so many entrants into the marketplace of online education now.
That is true. And there's no question there were fewer than 40 competitors, for example, in online nurse practitioner degrees when we started. And now there are over 200. But I really do look at this, Tiziana, as a question of then what's the competitive response to that? You can't just say, well, gee whiz, you know, it's softening. It's getting harder to do this. Well, so what's our response to that?
So let's talk about a couple of the tougher things. You have encountered controversy at various times in your career. At
yes.
Simmons, there have been a couple. One, there was news out this month from Moody's Investor Service,
yes.
who revised its outlook for Simmons from stable to negative,
yep.
which could mean it could threaten the bond rating for the university.
Right.
Because of increased debt load, $140 yep. million plus $77 million more to renovate some campus buildings.
Right.
What is your reaction to that?
So I find it really fascinating that the headline was Moody's warns Simmons. If you actually read the Moody's report, you'll see lots of positives in that report. And they don't really often write lots of positives. Between Moody's and S&P, they have essentially taken the same position, hold on the ratings, lower the outlook. And the message is essentially Simmons has done a great job of managing under difficult circumstances, making expense reductions when necessary, and inline online education way longer before others. We think they can do this. Now, if indeed in the future they can't, we'll be watching, and that's why there's a negative outlook. So we're on watch. We're having a leadership transition. That is not unusual for people to watch us. But actually, I got a note from our banker and from our advisor that both said, congratulations on not having a ratings downgrade. So nobody in the press is celebrating that we maintained our rating when two of our neighbors, whom I will not mention, did a similar thing and both got downgrades.
Okay.
So it's a big deal not to have your ratings moved under these circumstances.
Okay, so let's just talk about a couple other things. Then I want to move on to some women's leadership
yep.
questions too.
Yep.
Just I'll put these together. The two other controversies that did come forward during your time at Simmons, mm-hmm. one was your executive compensation, mm-hmm. which was relatively high. I put mm-hmm. you at the time 13th on the list.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2018, protest over a white man being selected as the first
right.
dean of the Gwen
right.
Ifill College,
right.
Gwen Ifill being an African-American, a late alumna.
Right. Right.
Of the college.
Right.
I just want to ask you to touch on both of those.
Okay, the first one, my compensation. The peculiarities of reporting 990 compensation is you report every dime paid in the year it's paid, and then you report it all again in the year when it's paid out. I had a 5-year deferred compensation arrangement that was intended to make me stay at Simmons. I would have lost all that money if I had left Simmons. They didn't pay it to me until 2016. I had earned it over 5 years. But since they paid it out all at one time, it all came into line. If you had actually looked at it on an annual basis, it wouldn't have been notable at all. And if you look at this year's Chronicle, you'll see there are very much higher paid people than that. It was an anomaly of the counting.
And how about the Gwen Ifill situation?
So Gwen Ifill situation is really a very, very sad chapter in the life of Simmons University. Gwen was a revered alumna, and her family agreed to give us her papers so people could come and study her papers at Simmons. And then, kind of on the cuff, I said to Bert Ifill, what about if we named the school for her? And he said, I have to ask the family. So he did. Now, long story short, it is not the Gwen Ifill School of Communications and Journalism. It is the Gwen Ifill School of Media, Humanities, and Communications. So the notion that we would pick someone that looked exactly like Gwen in person as well as in profession was never on the table. But for a subset of our alumni, they thought it was. That they thought that was the absolute mandate. It was not the mandate. And the person that we hired is incredibly capable of running the school that we have, not necessarily the one that our alums wished we had. They have really been outspoken beyond belief, and we have essentially tried in every possible way to bring them back into the fold. But I just think it's a situation that they can't get over.
All right, we don't have a ton of time left, and I do want to make sure to get to some other subjects
yep.
with you. So
yep.
here's your big philosophical question
mm.
for the hour today. Would you say you are a woman leader or are you a leader who is a woman?
I would say I'm a leader who is a woman.
Can you say some more about that?
Yeah, I would never choose to be a woman leader.
How come?
Because I think that if you are trying to build a career, and I certainly have done that over the course of my life, you have to be the leader of everyone, not just of the women in the room. I remember that President Obama was really called on that. And he said, I have to be the leader of all the people in the United States, not just the people who look like me. And I really think that is true of a leader. I also think that women do bring different skills and capabilities to the job. So it's fine to be conscious of being a woman as a leader. But you can't just lead women. So I'll give you a quick example. I am very much in favor of the changes that are now arising around Title IX violations that allow the so-called perpetrator to have an opportunity to speak for him or herself, and it's usually himself, rather than the former rules that essentially meant if the woman said it happened, the preponderance of evidence was the test to see if that worked. A number of men, who many of them might even still qualify as boys, have been thrown out of colleges on the basis of testimony that they never even had a chance to even oppose. And I just don't think that kind of thing is correct because
so you're
at the
referring
end of the day,
to what Betsy DeVos has been looking
yes,
at.
Yes, I am, which Harvard Law School opposed from the beginning, the original ways that we had in place. I just think things like that, that's just not fair. And that's where a woman leader can step forward and say, well, I'm very much in favor of the right things happening for women, but does it have to be at the expense of the wrong things happening for men?
So that's an interesting example for you to choose, because of course one of the other things that I wanted to ask you about is both the hashtag MeToo movement and the fact that whether you intended to or not, to some extent your experience at Caritas Christi Healthcare System, where you raised issues of the CEO, Dr. Haddad, having been guilty of sexual harassment and then first being resisted in your recommendation of his termination by the Archdiocese and then later his resignation was enforced. That was fairly early on in our discussions in the workplace about sexual harassment, et cetera. Were you pioneering something at the time? And do you think that it's gotten easier for people in those kinds of positions like the one you were then to report that kind of thing now?
I don't think I was pioneering. I had had many experiences in my career at Bank Boston that were not of that magnitude, but there were at least of that ilk.
He was accused of kissing employees and calling them at home and
right.
talking about inappropriate personal matters, et
right.
cetera.
But this is what I would say. I went back when I was looking at the Harvey Weinstein case. Harvey Weinstein, the allegations about Harvey Weinstein started before the incident with Dr. Haddad. Now, think about that. That means that the incidents that sort of welled up under the Me Too, hashtag Me Too leadership had been going on for a very long time. And if you look at some of the other people who have been similarly accused, their track record's pretty long too. So what I think is the fact that we actually brought that forward at Caritas was an example of doing the right thing for the women in the organization and not being pressured by the fact that he was the senior person, the fact that people he had strong friends outside the organization. But it wasn't because the organization did that. It's because at the end of the day, the women came forward and said, this should not stand. Now, when you think of the things that Dr. Haddad was accused versus the things that Harvey Weinstein has been accused of, and there was a judgment today in his case, in this day and age, the things that Dr. Haddad did, nobody would even say, is that sexual harassment? They would say, it is. That's just the end of it. So when I was involved, it was a much more prolonged, early days kind of sense. Today, I think people know sexual harassment when they see it, and it doesn't have to be as serious as Harvey Weinstein.
We have about a minute left.
Yep.
You know, this happened in the context of the Catholic Church. Last year, you and I actually talked on air here about an op-ed that you wrote
yep.
about the Archdiocese and Cardinal Sean.
Mm-hmm.
How are you feeling as a Catholic woman today?
You know, I feel actually much better than I did in the depths of the Dr. Haddad situation. I stopped going to church for a year. I just couldn't reconcile my own feelings with my church. And over time, I've really gotten much better at understanding that the church is a human institution, only as good as each and every individual that's running it. And it's one of the reasons why my belief is people who know how to run large organizations should be running the business side of the church and let the holy side of the church stay with the clergy.
Well, we're going to have to end on that
yes,
note.
Yes, we will.
That is Helen Drinan, the 8th president of Simmons University, a post that she assumed in 2008 and will step down from in June of this year. President Helen Drinan, thank you.
Thank you, Tiziana.